Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have two very special guests. I'm already crying. I haven't even said their names yet. Okay, we have Nicole Medina and Mickey Chorney, who I have known for many years from some transformational programs that we do together. These guys are incredible. They are both entrepreneurs, co-founders of a business that you're going to hear about, and business owners. And I'm going to bring them to the stage right now. Welcome.
Hello.
Mickey, and
hello.
Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Hillary.
Already crying. So, okay.
Oh, I love you.
So, all right. So these guys are. I don't want to give it away. So I almost said it, but I'm going to hold it. You're going to have to wait for after the commercial to hear about what they're up to. But, you know, for the first part, we want to just hear more about you guys, how you guys started working together, some of your challenges, and who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
Right,
I'm going to take myself out so you guys are bigger. Go ahead.
Okay. So my name's Mickey, and I am half of the co-founding team of Aligned Being. What can I tell you about me? Well, you know, I am the youngest of three kids, right? And so I've always fought to be in the spotlight my whole life. And so I have a background in theater. I graduated from acting school. I went to NYU, Tisch School of the Arts, did that whole thing for a while. And then I encountered transformative education and personal development. And that really created a major pivot for me in my career, during which I chose to become a professional coach. And then I started down that path. And so I have been a professional coach now for going on 9 years, and I'm based here in New York City. And now I'm going to introduce you to the
Wait, before you go, hold on. What did you actually do some acting before you switched to professional coaching?
Yeah, I did theater. I did theater. I did like regional productions, and I did things, smaller things here, like very independent, not even considered off Broadway. Like it was in Queens.
You were in the shows, you were acting.
Yeah, I was doing the whole actor thing, theater actor thing primarily. I wasn't really into film and TV.
Okay. And did you make money doing it, or did you have to have another job at the same time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I made some money doing it, but oh, I had every job one could have to survive and make it in the city. Except serving. I was never a waitress, but I did do pretty much everything else.
Like what? Like what's your favorite job or your least favorite job?
I think, well, an interesting one is I used to do product demos, like infomercial, scripted infomercial demos in stores. Oh. Where I had to like learn an entire like 15-minute script about a product with like product handling, and then I had to do like maybe 10 or 12 of these a day in a store, and I was only paid off of what I sold.
Oh my
so
God.
It was like some days I worked for free. So it was one of those jobs where it was like kind of a pain in the ass, but it was also kind of interesting and fun. Like when I tell people about it, they kind of react like you do, like, oh wow, that's kind of cool.
And what were the products? Like what were you trying to sell?
One of them was the Magic Cloth, which is like a spinoff of the ShamWow. And that was my best product. Like, I could sell those suckers like hotcakes. And it came with a mop. And it was like, and you know, they taught me all sorts of like things. Like, for a long time, they were like, as long as you're nodding while you're talking, that will create the message for your client, for the people in front of you, that they're going to say yes, right? And so while I was working that job, I found myself in every conversation that I ever was in, like nodding all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it worked. Oh, exciting. You know what?
All right. The product is good. Like, I still have magic cloth in my apartment and it works. The funny thing is I always handle it the way I was taught to handle it, like pretty. Like, yeah. I'm not sloppy with my magic cloth.
That's hysterical. And then when you switched to professional coaching, you were getting paid for that. So you could stop selling the magic claw and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When I went into professional coaching, I got a full-time job at a coaching company where I started in the sales department because obviously I didn't have any professional experience. I had training at that point outside of the corporate world, but I hadn't yet worked somewhere as a coach. So I got hired into the sales department, learned that industry. It was a dental practice management consulting company. So it was coaching, but for dentists.
Wow.
And then about 6 months into that is when I transitioned into actually coaching clients. And then I coached full time at that company for about 7 years. Coaching dentists, their office managers, their teams, leading big events for them, virtual events, in-person, all of it. You know, by the time I left that job, I had worked side by side with the CEO on nearly everything one could work on in that business as a coach.
Wow. So, my father was a dentist. That's why I love dentists. So.
I have a special place in my heart for dentists now.
Yes, me too.
Yes.
Oh, awesome. All right. So does that bring you up to when you partnered with Nicole, or was there a little more?
Just about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. All right. You ready, Nicole?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So tell us about where did you come from? Just do like the same thing. That was great, Mickey. And I'm going to go out until I get a question and I'll come back.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Right. So came from a very similar background as Mickey. I started off as an actor. And I did that for a little over a decade. I did a lot of training. I trained at a couple different conservatories in the city and loved it. I mean, that was my life. I lived and breathed being an actor and someone who was so devoted to their craft. And then I was out in the field auditioning and booking jobs for a long time and doing that whole hustle. I got to work with some pretty cool people I'm really proud to work with. Certainly a lot of projects that I'm proud of, worked with great people, not all of them very visible to the public always. But, you know, I worked across theater and film and television. So I sort of did the gamut, and my whole goal was to be like a Kate Blanchett who could transition seamlessly between all the mediums now, and be at that level.
Now, were you supporting yourself doing it, or did you have other jobs too?
I definitely had other jobs. I had many other jobs, sometimes a few jobs at the same time. And just like Mickey, I've done every job you could possibly imagine, from cleaning homes to nannying to bartending for a long time, being a server and a bartender. So I did a lot of different things. And listen, it was awesome because I developed a skill set that is very unique. I mean, I can do a lot of different things. I really developed my capacity in a lot of different types of jobs. So, yeah.
Like, what's one skill that you wouldn't think you would have needed again from those days?
From those days that I now use in coaching still?
Yeah. And something like cleaning houses, like all the things that you said, like, what would you say you learned from something like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me was humility. Like, you just doing what you've got to do and learning to hold myself in a way, really like to respect myself enough to be humble. actually. It sounds kind of backwards. You think, oh, I'd feel bad. But I learned, sometimes I did. Sometimes I felt a little embarrassed about some of the jobs I was doing. And I always found a way to, I was always committed to doing my best, any job that I did, whether it was, you know, cleaning or nannying or serving food at tables or bartending. And I think it really developed my ability to be adaptable, mm-hmm. and to know that I can bring a sense of pride to whatever I do. It doesn't have to diminish who I am as a person. So, and it was all an adventure for me. That's the other thing. It's just an adventure. It's like, okay, here's another chapter in the adventure of my life. And I get to be in these different roles, which actually fed into my acting, because I got to live these through these different jobs, variety of them, a wide variety of jobs. I got to play these different roles and access these different parts of myself. That then I could bring to acting. I had a lot more understanding and compassion and empathy for characters I was playing, because I was in so many different roles in the work that I would seek and end up having to do.
Now, was that like innate that you could figure that out, or had you already done transformation? Like, how did you, I mean, that's pretty cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, did you just naturally do that?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, that's a good question. I think I did, actually. And it might have been more of a coping mechanism. I mean, it's probably just like anything. But, you know, my mother is a great example of, she just always instilled that in me. It's like, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You know, you bring pride to what you're doing. Ooh. And, you know, take care of yourself and, you know, the way that you need to. So I think that, and I think I naturally have a very open, I'm open to different experiences. And I knew as a creative professional that I would need to be open and adaptable. And mm-hmm. I really just filtered that into, okay, this is going to support me with my work somehow, mm-hmm. with my creative work. So I'm going to use it as fuel, as a sort of, is the word fodder? Fodder for,
sure.
Yeah. For what I was up to as an artist and a creative person. I'm curious about people. I'm curious about life and curious about having different experiences. So,
after
coping mechanism or not, that's the way I flipped it for myself.
So after 10 years of being an actor, what happened after that? Was that when you met Mickey, or did you have another period before that?
Another period, yeah. So as on my path as an actor, being an actor, it can be really tough. I mean, it is fraught with all kinds of challenges. The industry is filled with rejection. And so you really have to deal with that a lot and really have to, you've got to bring a lot of acceptance, a lot of self-love and a lot of resilience to an industry that will put you up against yourself in ways that you can't even imagine. So on that road, I sought out personal growth and development tools to empower myself to keep going and to strengthen my mind, body, spirit so that I could continue and had the fortitude to keep going and fulfill on that vision that I had, that dream that I had of being a successful working actor and the whole reason why I came to New York City in the first place. Mm. So on that path, I started to dive deep into personal, professional growth training and development. And I really discovered a love for it. I mean, I just completely fell in love with it. And for a while, you know, eventually I started coaching. And then I started working as a coach while I was an actor. So I'm auditioning, working a couple side jobs, and also gaining, trying to build my work experience as a coach. I got hired by a few different companies. I started to work with a pretty major company that helped me get some real traction under my feet and real experience under my belt. So I got to work with Simon Sinek and the Optimism Company is what it's called now.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a second. How did you work with Simon? That is so cool.
Great. Yeah, well, we had been, we met, became friends, and then, you know, he knew what I was up to. He knew I was into really deep in the personal professional training and development, and what I loved. He knew I loved making a difference for people. He's actually one of the first people that said, you know, I think that you're a teacher, like you're a coach and a teacher. You're somebody, that's what I see for you. And you're someone who naturally is really good at that. And so eventually when he was developing a particular course, he asked me and a couple of other people to come in and help him develop the course and then also facilitate and lead the course as well. So when I had that experience, it was just lit a fire under me and really reinforced my love of coaching and facilitating and speaking and making that kind of a difference for people.
I have to go back.
Yeah.
was he already like a big deal when you met him, or was like, and where did you meet him?
Yeah. He was already a big deal. We were just walking. I lived on the Upper West Side. We just happened to be waiting for the same train and we started talking and became friends. We kept in touch.
Wow.
And then that was it. And then, so we had a lot in common, personally and professionally. And, you know, eventually it got to the point where he's like, okay, you know, we have so much in common. We've got all of these things that we want to do for people. And let me introduce you to this person. Let me introduce you to that person. And then eventually, he called me one day and said, hey, I'm developing this course and here's what it's about. Yada, yada. Do you want to do it? That's literally what he said. He's like, do you want to do it? I was like, yes. So, so that was really what got a lot of momentum started for me in terms of, coaching and facilitating and really lighting that fire in my heart, about being able to do this professionally, you know, and that vision starting to unfold for me of doing it professionally full time. So,
Let me ask. So for both of you, obviously you're now both into the coaching. You had dreams of being actors. Did you let that dream go to do this one? Is it part of it? Like, how did you, you know, because some people, they have this dream, they never stop. I don't know if they ever achieve it, but they don't, you know, somewhere along the way, they feel guilty or bad that they dropped, you know, whatever. How did you guys transfer your dream from that to this?
Yeah.
Missing something.
That's a great question. I can speak on this. So I can say for me, it was a very organic process. I never thought I would stop acting ever. Mm-hmm. I had heard people who had transitioned, you know, heard folklore of people who had transitioned out of being an actor, you know, and as an actor, when you get trained at school and when you're in that culture, it's sort of blasphemy to talk about doing anything else but being an actor. So it's kind of, you know, it's a shock to the system. And there's a lot of guilt and shame that can come with, you know, even thinking about doing anything else but acting. And eventually, again, I was so immersed in coaching and that I found what I had loved about acting, what fulfilled me about acting, I actually found in coaching. That ability to touch, move, and inspire people, the ability to reach in and like alter the course of someone's story, so to speak. And so it just became so much more fulfilling to do that in a direct way for me that then acting naturally started to become, at least I would say not acting, but pursuing an acting career became less and less interesting to me. And eventually it was very peaceful. I just, one day I was like, you know, that's complete for me. I'm good. It wasn't dramatic. It wasn't, you know, filled with guilt or shame. It was just clear that I wanted to go in a different direction. And the beauty of it is I could take my skill set, all of the training and development that I got as an actor, the self-expression, the gifts that I have as an artist are so beautifully compatible with what I do as a coach. And so there was no giving up of any of that. It was just, it's just a different arena.
Right. So Mickey, how about, beautiful answer. Mickey, how about you? Was that,
I would say that it was a peaceful transition, but it was a little different for me. So I walked into the personal development work that I did really with an intention of having some breakthroughs in my acting career, right? Ooh. It was like, all right, I'm going to get into it. And in fact, the work that I did, there were some fires that were lit around that. And it was like the first time I actually printed my new headshots after I'd taken them like over a year before. And like, there were definitely steps that I took as a result. But one of the biggest realizations that I had along that journey was that the person who had this dream to be a star on Broadway was a little girl who was really heartbroken and wanted to prove something to the world for the rest of her life. Mm. And so when I had that revelation, it was really like a huge blind spot for me, was that I was constantly in pursuit of proving something. It was not about the expression or the artistry. It was about proving something every time I got on stage. Wow. And it was exhausting, actually, when I really stopped and told the truth about it. And when I had that realization, it was like, okay, I think I'm done with that.
Yeah. All right. Let me switch to you guys because I'm watching the time here. Yeah. Awesome. That's beautiful answers. Okay. There was something about on the notes, mental health challenges for both of you. And I know a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah.
And you, because I also have a couple other things to do in 10 minutes here. Who wants to, you know, just briefly, like, what was it? How'd you, you know, overcome it? Who wants to, Mickey, you wanna?
Sure. So I deal with depression and I'm one of the lucky people who has very functioning depression. So for the most part, I can be an achiever and I can do things, you know, like luckily my depression is not super paralyzing. With that said, I see a therapist and I was on medication for many years. And I also went through disordered eating recovery. You know, I've my whole life struggled with body image and I've always been overweight by anyone's standards. Since I was 4, I've been told that I was overweight. And so I had a lot, my life was really fraught with a lot of like sadness and trauma around that. And so in this pursuit of personal development and like self-actualization, you start to have a lot of realizations about the healing that needs to take place, like the good old-fashioned healing and the feeling of feelings and the sort of letting them be. And so I've done a lot of work with a therapist, and you know, disordered eating recovery has also become about body liberation. It's not even body positivity. It's just being free in your body the way that it is, even if sometimes it's not good feelings, right? It's just, it is the way it is. And I accept it and I love it the way that it is. So that has been a really big sort of parallel journey for me as a coach. And, you know, more recently, you know, we'll talk a bit about Nicole and I's journey as business owners. But more recently, like in the last 18 months, I chose to go off of my antidepressants. And it was mostly an experiment to see how I would deal because it had been so long. And what I really didn't account for was the roller coaster of withdrawal symptoms that would come in the year that followed. And it really created a lot of challenges along the way, aside from the fact that we were building a business from nothing. It created a lot of challenges in just like getting through life every day. And what I'll say about all of that is thank goodness for people like Nicole in my life, you know, because she was my business partner. She was my partner in life, my partner in healing. And you know, through all of it, there was compassion, there was space holding, so much space holding and generosity. And like, there was a lot of courage that I had to muster to keep going. And, you know, being now on the other side of that, I have a lot of gratitude because I'm like finally off that roller coaster, but you know, it's not easy. And when you're a coach, and when you have so much going well and you're accomplishing things, people worry that, like, oh my God, like, I can never be like them. They have it so together. And, like, I'm here to tell you, we don't always have it together. And what makes us different is that we keep going and we don't give up. And that is, like, what we do professionally, is we also don't ever give up on our clients. And I tell a lot of my clients, like, when they're like, oh my God, thank you for not giving up on me. I'm like, that's why you pay me. I am a professional, not giver upper. So, yes.
That's great. Thank you.
And you know, there's,
you,
like,
stayed off of the medication. So you got off it. And
yeah, I've been completely off. I tapered, right? But, like, there's been no medication in my system for a year now. This is, like, the 1 year anniversary. But, wow, you know, the other thing that was really, really important was, you know, and Nicole will share a little bit about her mental health struggles, but she was able to say, like, girl, I think you need to lean into this. I think it's time to, like, pay attention to these things. Here, let's use some tools together. Like, we would get on the phone and she would actually walk me through certain tools and practice with me, right? And
wow,
gave me things to think about that I never considered before. And then in her journey and what she was dealing with, it, like, actually shed light on my journey. And I was able to, like, benefit from the lessons she was learning along the way too. So it was, like, a very, you know, like, like, regenerative kind of experience navigating this roller coaster together.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Congratulations. And Nick, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mickey, for
being
real, right? Yeah. That's real.
That's what the show's about, right?
All right, Nicole, how about you? What was your, because, you know, I would say, oh, you guys have it all together. What's the big deal? But yeah,
stuff. We're a constant work in progress. And I always say the only reason we can help our clients the way that we do is because we've got to, you know, we're usually walking that path already. We just happen to learn a few lessons ahead of you. We're just a few feet ahead. Right. You know, we have a perspective that maybe you don't have yet, because we literally have to go through that fire ourselves constantly.
So, what was your struggle?
So it was the same kind of thing. I mean, I've always struggled with depression and anxiety. On a clinically diagnosed level. So I was on medication years ago. I'll keep mine really brief because Mickey just shared so much, and I could say so much about my own journey, you know, relative to what she shared. But it was one of those things where when I went off years and years ago, I went off medication, and I had to deal with those. I had to navigate that terrain, and it can be rough, man. I mean, the lows can feel really low. And it's very challenging. So I had to learn a lot of tools that I didn't have at my disposal. And I had to insert a lot of practices that I had never done before. And after years of doing that, was able to bring myself to equilibrium and to, you know, having a well-balanced life that fulfills me. Where I feel good, you know, not all the time, right? We're human beings. It's not a linear path. But I, in learning all of these tools that have empowered me along the way, it was such a beautiful moment when I was able to give back to my best friend and business partner and, you know, platonic life partner here to help her through those struggles. So for me to be able to contribute to Mickey in that way was so fulfilling, and I'm here for it anytime. So I will say that it was the same kind of thing. Yeah.
All right. So let's go. Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. I appreciate that. I want to hear about the fight, because I know you guys are tight now, but you had said in the notes, if you hadn't have gone through this thing, you would never be working together and all that. So can you guys just, I don't know, how briefly talk about that? What happened?
Okay, well, this was early 2022. A lot of things had transpired in our personal lives and in our friendship.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like the end of 2021, the beginning of 2022.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so a lot of things had happened, you know, I had been working at this company that, you know, looking back, there were a lot of things about it that were really unhealthy about that relationship and that dynamic. Nicole worked at that company for a stint of about a year and a half at the same time as me. And it was at a time when she was dealing with a lot of hard things in her life. And we were just like drifting and drifting as friends. And there was a lot of like tension and pressure on the friendship. It was like both of us were really like stretched thin in the friendship. And then, you know, she stopped working at that company and I was like on a trip when she left the company. And so my reaction to it was truly not what it needed to be. Like, it was not commensurate with the gravity of the situation. And at the time, like looking back, like, you know, I can see why I would have reacted that way. Both of us were like kind of on.
What was your reaction?
It was like, man, that sucks. Like in a text, like it was like, oh man, that really sucks or something like that. You know, I might've asked like a follow-up question, but like, I wasn't fully there for her when it happened. And looking back, like I can see why, like based on the sort of like headspace I was in. Right. But it didn't matter. Then we sort of, there was like silence between us for a while. Like we went several weeks without talking.
Nicole, were you asked to leave? So it wasn't your decision. Is that why?
Yeah. It wasn't my decision.
Okay.
And there was a lot going on at the company that was, I don't know, what would you call it, Mick?
Just toxic, unfair, like bordering unethical. Yeah.
Okay. So you say,
in that experience, I mean, I just completely shut down. I got to the point where I was in that job so shut down, you know, due to the conditions of the, you know, what Mickey just spoke to, the team and the way that it operated, and that I just eventually, you know, I really do believe there is such a thing as divine intervention, just kind of got spit out of that system, which was perfect. And because I had just gone into such a shutdown, such a freeze mode, and I was so disempowered. And I think that was part of the, you know, the sort of resentment that I was carrying as well, is just, you know, Mickey and I were so disconnected. I felt so alone in that experience. So luckily got spit out of that system, and incredible opportunities followed, which I don't think we have enough time to go into.
Yeah.
But it was for sure meant to happen that way.
And then how did you guys get back? And then we got to take a commercial break.
So like a month goes by where we're not talking to each other. Right. And then we decide we're going to get on the phone and have a conversation. And, you know, it's basically like the conversation starts something like, I think this might be the end of our friendship. I think this is where we go our separate ways.
Yeah. We were both kind of like, both of us literally done. If we were on the phone, but it probably physically would have been the equivalent of both of us just doing this, like hands up in the air. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. You know, I was at my limit. Mickey was at her limit. And it was like, okay, we had a good run. We're just going to part ways. You know, I wish you the best.
What was interesting is Nicole was the one in that conversation who said, really? Like, I don't want to just end it.
Like, well, I had a moment, because the thing is I did. I actually did for many weeks. I had wanted to, I had tried to find a way to kind of slowly get out, you know, or like try to end it, you know, or try to say, hey, I think we should complete this. Yeah. And then when the moment I was confronted with the reality of actually completing the friendship, what came right up for me after that was, I actually don't want to. I actually think there's something else happening here. And and to me, that was worth exploring. But it was in that moment when I was confronted with the dissolving the friendship for real. And then I got curious. And I not only got curious about, I got curious about what my part was in the dynamic. And I got curious about what Mickey needed and what was going on in her world. such that we would end up in this place. And so there was this opening that suddenly happened for me, I can say, in that moment, and where I was finally listening. And I was listening to myself. I was listening to Mickey. I was willing to take responsibility for my part. And I could, and I saw something, because I had had kind of a lot of, what would you call it? Hard falls, a number of hard falls leading up to that. And I saw something, that I had been trying to be right about, right? I've been hanging on to something. And I thought, wow, that's not worth it. If that's what's happening, if just hanging on to this thing that I want to be right about is going to take this entire friendship down, which I treasure so much, I'm not willing to do that. I actually what there is to do is give it up. Wow. And see what else is available if I just give this thing up. That was the path.
Awesome. All right, let's take our commercial break. We're going to come back, find out all about the thing that we're not talking about, and then you guys can present it and talk about how you worked it all out. So, all right, we'll see you back in a minute.
See you soon.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
So thank you, as always, to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. If you want to bring experiential social-emotional learning to your schools, to your teams, to your businesses, please check them out. They really are doing amazing things in this world, and you definitely want to talk to them if that calls to you. And as always, if you're not speaking up, you're a little shy, don't think you can say it, go to RealTalkWithHillary.com, get my book, and let's talk. Because by getting it out, you can really create magic and create something new. So that's realtalkwithhillary.com. And now we're going to bring back our 2 bells of the ball, Mickey and Nicole.
I did want to add something.
So let's see.
I scratched my shoulder. Sorry. So these red bar, do you see this? I went like this.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay.
It's not an animal attack.
Hillary, I wanted to add something to sort of finish that story and kind of transition into what's next, because what came from that moment where Nicole had this opening was, I kind of stepped into that with her, and it was the first time that I had felt like I was heard, like she actually heard me. But then what came up immediately after that was like, okay, it's time to reinvent our relationship. Like, I think this relationship as we knew it is over. And now we're going to make a new one. And so it really was like a mutual agreement that the way that it was served us until it didn't. And now we get to make a new way. And we reinvented. We actually said, okay, from now on, this relationship is for being there for the growth, for the healing, supporting each other, doing that work, holding each other accountable. Like, and I remember saying, like, we're going to be the models for ourselves of what it looks like to be in a healthy relationship, a healthy, intimate relationship with someone. We're going to be the models for ourselves. And so it was in that moment that we invoked a new reality for our relationship. And if that conversation hadn't happened, then the conversation that happened like 10 months after that to start a business, that would have never happened. So that's what I wanted to say, right? Like that was really the pivotal moment.
It was huge. I love the way you share that too, Mickey. And it's true. I mean, that was a moment for Mickey. I give so much credit to Mickey for pinpointing that moment as an opportunity to create something new right then and there and put language to it. And then we created an agreement around that. And absolutely, that was the source of our business being born 10 months later. I could actually say it was part of what, for me, also developed me to be in, you know, the most beautiful, intimate, romantic partnership that I've ever had with my now fiance, is really being in this clearing with Mickey around what is partnership? What does that look like? What are our agreements around it? What is that world? And let's continue to ongoingly create it. You know, it's a creation, so that anything that shows up in that space is just an opportunity for growth and course correction, right? Rather than a problem or a reason to go our separate ways.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, really, really incredible.
Again, thank you for demonstrating that is possible. And just to clear up, in case anyone's wondering, they're friends. It's not a romantic partnership. A lot of times when people talk about partners or whatever, you know, it's a romantic thing, but this is not, I don't think people usually talk about this, about friendship, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you. Yeah. Thank you for really providing that for the world. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So let's talk about what you guys are creating now in your business partnership.
Yeah. Can I just say one more thing about that? What we're talking about. It didn't just create the clearing for our business to be created. But it also, it's the foundation that we operate from as business partners. Because who does that? You go into business with your best friend. Are you kidding? It's like most people are like, huge red flag. Worst idea ever. Don't do that if you want to actually save your friendship, you know. But we did. And I think why we were so confident about that and there was so much ease in our decision is because we created that new foundation for our relationship. And that's literally what we operate. That's our operating system. So anytime we do get into, you know, some tight spots or maybe there's a little bit of friction, which there is, right? There still is. Our ability to work through that is so strong and it's so beautiful. The learning that comes out of that and the expansion and growth that comes out of that for both of us.
So what is the principle that has that happen? Would you say what just one of them? That has you not say, see ya, you know, that has you work through it. Is there a principle or it's just?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's what we said. It's what we've declared what the relationship is for. Right. So,
well, I don't know. Do you want to say something? I can't point to one thing, but I can say that both of us agree that we don't just throw our hands up and give up. We ask the hard questions and we say the hard things, even when it's uncomfortable. And even if we, you know, tell one another to go, you know, fly a kite, always come back and we clear it up.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, now that it's actually occurring to me now, the heartbeat of that is self-responsibility.
Yeah.
We're both willing to be responsible for, you know, okay, let me look at myself. What is my part in this? How am I creating whatever this loop is that we're in right now? Mm. So that, I think that's actually key, is the willingness to be responsible for yourself and how you show up, rather than instantly going to blame. It's like, no, let me point the finger back here and let me look at what I may be contributing to this particular loop and how this dynamic is going. And Mickey and I, hands down, this is how we operate. That is what we do first. And I think that's what we do. It's part of why we work so well together, is because what we do first is we look at ourselves, and then we go out and we have a conversation about, you know, what could be done
or what
better,
we need,
or
what we need,
know,
to ask for. Because oftentimes it's just something you need to ask
for. What we need to ask for. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Beautiful. That's really, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! Really cool. Really cool.
Juicy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Not always, not easy. Listen, man, this stuff is, this can get, you know, it can be a challenge, but it's worth it. My God.
No, I just had a thing with my son where something happened and I was like, but I got to communicate in a responsible way where he didn't get it on him at all, and really allowed myself to, you know, say the hard stuff, clear it up. And by the next day it was completely done. We were awesome, you know, and it was my stuff. It wasn't his at all. And it just got to show me you can get to the other side if you don't resist it. If you lean
it's
in.
So true. If you lean in, and it's not going to feel good. That's the other thing, is people
who hate it every time. I always tell them, I don't like doing this.
It feels good after.
Yeah.
Right. But after it does.
After it does. After it's miraculous. I mean,
you never
know that.
Yeah. People don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Transformation, growth doesn't feel good most of the time.
Yeah.
But like you said, Hillary, the outcome on the other side of that is, I mean, you can't, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
And it's pure creation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, good. All right. So, let's see. How many minutes do we have?
We can do it
like
in five.
Totally. Can you do it in five?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll do it.
I'm going to take myself out.
Well,
go,
we've
baby.
We've been talking about it
back
for a while, but not talking about it. So our company is Aligned Being, and we're a coaching company.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty big vision. Nicole, do you want to tell them our vision?
Yes, sure. So our vision is that together we inspire a wave of transformation, setting new standards for living and performance, contributing to a better, more compassionate world.
Right there. Yeah. And how we do that, how we fulfill on that vision, is we have many different kinds of offerings that all fall into the category of coaching packages and agreements, and it also coaching experiences. And so we're excited because we are now offering a very cool signature program called the Aligned Being Experience. And this is an opportunity to engage with us as your coaches for 3 months. We kick it off with a 3-day in-person immersive experience. You're here in New York City with us in person with a small intimate group of other leaders, business owners, professionals who are looking to venture into that world of creating their own business, people who are actively making their art their business, right? So it's those kinds of like-minded individuals who are looking to go to the next level of whatever stage they are in their professional life, in their leadership. And we go to work on what are some of the things that get in your way, and then what are some of the things that you need to put in place to really empower you on that journey. And we couple that with some personality strengths assessments. So we've got some science to back things up. We couple that with some really awesome, authentic, vulnerable sharing and some deep exercises. And then we take you through 3 months of weekly group coaching with that group that you meet at the 3-day immersion, where you get to carry out your plan to get to whatever that next level is, which you determine clearly during that immersion. So then you're just taking action, getting the coaching, getting additional tools along the way to get to where you want to be at the end of those 3 months and beyond. And so if you are somebody who has never had coaching, or somebody who is interested in really being in an environment that's pulling for your growth and your expansion, this is the place for you. Like, we're here, we're ready for you. We've been through it, we're going through it ourselves. So, you know, everything that we share with you, we're experiencing, we're learning along the way. We've had amazing mentors that have taught us lots of really extraordinary things. And we've developed tools and practices that really kind of bring it all together for you so that you have a very comprehensive, complete approach to this next phase of your growth and your leadership. And our next one is July 18th, 19th, and 20th. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's the kickoff. And then we go for 3 months together after that. And I believe we're going to be putting a link down below, wherever the description is for this, where you can schedule a time to chat with one of us if you're interested and you want to know if it's a fit for you.
Yeah, and you guys, the experience is amazing. The people that we have in there, oh my God. The community that we have is just awesome. So if anything, I mean, that's one of the biggest.
Yeah, totally. You get to leave with a group of people that are rooting for you in your corner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
It's the peace thing.
It's amazing.
So who is someone that you think this would benefit? If I was in my chair, who would you say would be someone that should reach out to you?
Okay, so if you are a business owner and you are in growth phase of your business and you have anywhere from 1 to 100 employees, this is the kind of event you want to come to. Because we're going to have you get so clear on what has been either slowing you down or keeping you from going faster, better, further. We're going to get you unstuck on whatever you've been stuck with. But more importantly, we're going to superpower you so you can go and actually do the things you've been meaning to do probably faster than you have in the past. So that's one kind of person that we would definitely want to appeal to. And in highly technical fields, right? So I've worked with dentists. We've spoken at like medical device manufacturing conferences. So those are our people, highly technical, highly skilled people. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah. And I was going to say, and also anybody in a managerial position who's in a leadership position of some kind, you're leading a team, you want to work your way up the management ladder. Also, creative professionals who don't quite know how to make their art their business, and want a really clear pathway for themselves and some structure to put behind their endeavors. That's another great person for our immersion.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. All right. That's beautiful. And we will have the links and we'll have the ways to get in touch with these guys in the notes. So now, just to really kind of bring this home, if you each want to say, like, if you could have the world any way you wanted it, how would it look in 5 years? What would you see the world looking like? You know, and what kind of impact have you had?
That's a big question. The whole world.
Great.
Your world. What's in your heart? Like, yeah.
What it would look like, our impact in the world, how would it have altered things a bit?
Yeah, let's say this takes off. How are people? You know, how are they? How's the world?
Yeah.
This thing works.
This is a good one.
It's exploding.
Empowered for sure. Lit up about themselves and their lives, definitely. It really able to navigate the spaces of relationship and communication in a way that is empowering for people, that like just leaves everybody better than when they came into the conversation. Mick, do you want to say anything?
Yeah. I can see it. You know, with our vision, right? Set new standards for living and performance. Right. So I think, you know, in 5 years, when this is really taking off, I think what we would see is a shift in the professional and corporate world, and even like the self-employed and small business world, which is like the new standard for living and performance, is to start with being aligned with yourself, is to start with the conversations and the relationships that surround your life, and ensuring that those are nurtured and healthy and happy, right? Because we know that at the core of a happy, healthy individual are happy, healthy relationships to self and to others. And so the new standard for, it's like, that really would be like the thing that people talk about. Oh, you want to start a business? Are you in therapy? Are you talking to the people in your life? Do you have their support? Who do you need to talk to ensure that they're on board with this new reality in your life? Right. And so there would be sort of this knowing now that that's like, you have to have an aligned being for yourself.
Beautifully said. Yeah, absolutely. And if you can imagine that happening in the, you know, do you have a therapist, do you have a coach, right? Any of that support. So, but if you can imagine that happening, say, when I think of that happening in the professional world, the impact, the ripple effect that that has, because if you're practicing that kind of communication, that way of being and acting with people on your team at work, you're going to go home and you've already developed that skill set. It's going to translate into your family life. You'll go in being open to learning, open to listening, and having effective communication with your spouse, with your children, right? So it's all connected. And I think that's the beauty of what we're providing. And certainly that's the vision that we have of the kind of world that's possible to create.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you both. I love what you're doing. I really applaud you. Thank you for working it out between the two of you so that you could provide this. It's really such a gift to hear your story, to hear what you're up to. And I look forward to creating that world. Thank you both.
Thank you, Hillary. And this was a long time coming. We're so honored to be on your podcast. It just, we love you. Just so respect you and admire you and what you're up to, who you are and what you provide. And it's really just such a privilege to be on your show. So thanks for having, I'm so glad it finally worked out.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
So long time coming.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already.
Right, thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started Getting Real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony, and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.